by Kay Gunn.
The header is good, and it's the Giant defender John Taewook, and eventually Korea have broken the deadlock.
You're listening to the K-League United podcast, proud partner of Football Nation Radio.
Oh, hello, Anyeonghaseyo, Ryan Walters. Back for another live edition of the K-League United podcast, and I am joined by my regular host, Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And Peter Hampshire.
Hi, lads. How are we doing?
Gents, we were supposed to be done about now. Some technical issues on my end of things, but we're finally up and running, and I see that we have the 94th minute with us live. And gents, it's, you know, we had a week off last week from the normal things here. Paul took the reins, and before we go any further, I just wanted to have a smugness level check-in. Binns, how are things?
I'd say about a 7 or an 8 today.
Oh, that's much more modest than I was expecting, to be entirely honest.
Out of 5. I mean.
Okay, Pete, congrats on Gwangju making the top half.
Yeah, mate, we called it, didn't we? We called it. We called that Champions League push a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
we
definitely
saw the important goals rolling down in John Book. Me and Binns were covering 6 games at once while you were commentating at the weekend.
Yeah, it was really good to see, like you know, two lads done good for themselves, and really pleased with what we did, Peter. I think we really, really nailed it.
I suppose that could have been the lead-in. Yeah, Paul and I called our first ever game over the weekend. I did play-by-play, which, that's real intense, by the way. The kickoff was hilarious because, you know, had everything ready to go, had this great thing scripted for the kickoff, set the scene, everything else, and the ball kicked off, and I'm kind of watching. I'm like, boy, somebody really should start announcing the game or something here. They're moving the ball. That's me. And then off we went. No goals in that one. Of course, the one game that we got to commentate on. No,
if you would have had the Po Hang Sangju game, I don't know what you'd have done.
I would have just melted down. At the end, I would have just been like the screaming guy. I mean, the whole time, had everything else figured out, knew how I wanted to call the game, but I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do if a goal went in. You know, I was just going to call the situation, but I can't be the guy that just shouts goal.
I was looking forward to some of those, the Paul Neat punneries, some of the links in the Bruno bio, some tangerines peeling away, and whatever he would have had lined up for Daegu and Seoul, but alas, wasn't meant to be.
Daegu dashing the dreams of Seoul was one of the ones that we had discussed, but alas, no, that one finished 0-0, and that leads into what we're going to be talking about today, because we're going to be talking about the final round A and final round B. This is the second year that we have these names that exist. It's more than one round. It's 5 rounds of matches, but so it is. The final round A, which is the top half of the table, they will be playing each other one more time. And the final round B are also going to do the same thing, and they're going to try to fight off relegation. So for each of those halves, we're going to go over the schedule briefly. We're not going to run down the whole schedule. That's available on kleague.com for you right now, if you want to check that out. But we're also going to be talking about the biggest talking points. We're going to start in A, talk about the biggest talking points there. I feel like I know what Pete's going to say for that one. The match you're looking forward to most?
Like I said, I've booked my tickets to Sydney for the Champions League 2021. Yeah.
Don't even need to know if they're in that group or not. Just going.
No,
anyway.
No.
Yeah. Just a trip down to Sydney. A lovely city, by the way. And we're also going to try to, once again, we do this throughout the year. We're going to try to predict who's going to finish on top of K-League 1. And, well, Matthew's here, so we know one of us is going to say. We'll do the same thing in final round B, but then we're also going to try to answer the question of who's going to get relegated, which, whew, that's getting close. That's getting real interesting there. And then, of course, we do have the OG Luis mailbag. But before we can get into any of that, we did mention Paul Neat a little bit earlier, and to set the scene for you this week and kind of go over what's happening around the globe in Korean football, here's Paul Neat.
Thanks, Ryan. We begin with the final day of the regular K-League 1 season, where newly promoted Gwangju went on to seal a top 6 finish at the expense of FC Seoul and Gangwon. The Yellows snuck into final round A on goals scored, thanks to a 2-0 win over Songnam. Park Jin-sop's side are now guaranteed to secure the highest league position in the club's history. Their previous best was in 2016, when Gwangju finished 8th. Pohang Steelers, meanwhile, moved up to 3rd after emerging as 4-3 winners with 10 men at home to Sangju Sangmu. Serbian attacking midfielder Alexander Polosevic bagged his first career hat-trick to move on to 9 goals for the campaign. Pohang now on the brink of a return to ACL following a 4-year absence. Elsewhere, no change at the top of the table as Ulsan and Jeonbuk both won over the weekend. On Tuesday, though, the final round fixtures were released, with the first batch of games coming up this weekend, beginning with a supermatch at Big Bird, where for the first time ever, Suwon Blue Wings will take on FC Seoul in the bottom half of the split. Full details of all the games played from rounds 23 to 27 can be found on kleague.com. Meanwhile, Monday the 21st of September was World Alzheimer's Day, and to raise awareness, Suwon Blue Wings last Wednesday wore shirts with player names written by elderly Alzheimer's patients as part of the Even If You Forget Your Name campaign. The shirts will be sold to raise funds for the Beautiful Foundation, a dementia family support charity. In K-League 2, Daejeon Hana Citizen appointed a new caretaker manager in Cho Min-guk. Cho had a 1-year stint in charge of Ulsan in 2014, guiding them to 6th place in K-League 1. However, despite 2 new managers in the space of just 2 weeks, Daejeon suffered their second defeat in as many games, falling to a 2-0 loss at home to Seoul Eland. With Jeju beating Bucheon and Suwon overcoming Cheongnam Asan, Purples look resigned to the playoffs. Elsewhere in K-League 2, Gyeongnam announced on Monday that the club has terminated the contract of striker Luke Castillos. The 27-year-old had featured just 6 times in 2020, scoring once, but scored 9 goals in 17 appearances last year, despite lengthy injury layoffs. Meanwhile, sad news for football fans in Yeouju, as it was announced earlier this week that the city of Yeouju no longer wishes to fund its K4 side. Founded just 3 years ago, Yeouju Citizen are currently 6th in K4 after winning their last 3, and are just 2 points off the playoffs. And finally, where else but to the Premier League, where it was a super Sunday for Tottenham Hotspur. Son Heung-min bagged 4 goals in Tottenham's 5-2 comeback win over Southampton. With Gareth Bale returning to Spurs on loan from Real Madrid, it was quite a statement from Son, who was able to equalise for Spurs on the stroke of half-time before turning the game on its head just 2 minutes after the restart. His hat-trick was sealed on 64 minutes, the third of his career, but first in the Premier League, before a fourth was added on 73. This is the most goals Son has scored in a single game as a professional. Well, that is it for me for now, but stay tuned later this week for the weekend. Back to you, Ryan.
Thank you so much, Paul. Always nice having him on. And Bins was doing some stuff off camera there during the break. I thought that was going to maintain when we came back from that. Yeah, all sorts of interesting things going on, as always. But speaking of the interesting things, gentlemen, let's just go ahead and hop into this. Let's start with the final round A. In case you didn't know, that is Ulsan Hyundai in first. Take that, Matthew. Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors in second, barely. Pohang Steelers in third after an insane match, as Pete was alluding to. That one was just nuts. They ended up winning and moving into third place. That bumped Sangju Sangmu down to fourth. Daegu FC in fifth, and that's going to matter a lot. We'll talk about that. And in their first year back in K-League 1 since 2017, Gwangju FC have guaranteed their highest finish, as Paul noted in the news there. So, gentlemen, let's just dive right in here. And I'm looking at Matt, and I heard the smugness level. So, Peter, I'm going to start with you. What's the biggest talking point for you in final round A?
Yeah, it's got to be Gwangju sneaking in to the top 6. There was about 4, maybe 5 teams. If Busan would have put 6 past Jeonbuk, they could have even got into the top 6 at the weekend, but alas, they didn't. Gwangju finished 6th, even though they're still not won at the new home, and they've only got 6 wins all season so far. 4 of those away from home. Obviously, they've moved stadium halfway through the season, but they've improved in recent weeks. They've had some great results against some top sides, and it's paid off.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really... I'm very much looking forward to seeing Gwangju in this, because we've already seen them hold their own against everybody in the top half. And of all the teams that were looking to get in there, Gangwon, all they were there, you know, they just had to hold on. They were in the top half, but they couldn't. FC Seoul just had to score a goal. They couldn't get in there. And we've seen those teams struggle against the top half this year, whereas Gwangju just defiantly have not. And I think that's going to be... Yeah.
They've not been hammered by anyone, but they have only won one game against the rest of the top six. And that was that 10-goal thriller at Daegu. So the only game they won against the rest of the top six, they did concede 4 goals. So it remains to be seen whether they can claim that fifth spot, which you alluded to there, could be a Champions League spot this year, depending on the FA Cup results this week.
Yeah, depending on how things go in the FA Cup. Basically, everybody in the top half of the table is hoping that Jeonbuk can eliminate Seongnam, because if that happens, then it would be one of the teams in the top half of the table getting the FA Cup. And then that would mean that that would bump down to fourth place, usually third place or fourth place, which is Sangju Sangmu right now. So it could go all the way down to fifth place for Champions League this year, where Daegu FC currently sit. And yeah, Pete, maybe it's time to, you know what, just buy the ticket. Non-refundable to Sydney. Do it. Do it. What's going to go wrong? But Gwangju has...
My ex-girlfriend's in Sydney, so that could go wrong. We're going to have that for starters.
That's a different podcast. We're going to do that one next week. That one, yeah. I think we've already seen Gwangju kind of influence the title race a little bit, and it's going to be real, real interesting to see what they do next. And that kind of leads into my talking point, and then we'll let Matt speak in this segment. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Sangju can do, because this entire season, Sangju has known that they're going to get relegated. There's nothing they can do about it. And they've just gone out and been the third best team in the league at most times. And there's so much talent on that team. And there's no way that they're going to go through the post split without winning one of these games, two of these games, maybe even three of these games, and having a massive, massive say in the title race. And, you know, on the other side of this coin is we all know about Ulsan and what they can't do post split and what they can't do in big games. And I wonder if Sangju is going to be one of those. But Matthew, I feel like I'm kind of trouncing a little bit onto what your main talking point is here. So take it away, Matthew.
Well, my biggest talking point is Ulsan, really. And it has to be. They're top of the league and it's theirs to lose. And we all know they love to lose it. Ulsan's form against the top six, they have 2 losses against Jeonbuk, 2 wins against Pohang, 2 wins against Sangju, a win and a draw against Daegu, and 2 draws against Gwangju. So that's 12 points dropped, 7 of which have been in the last 4 rounds. Mm-hmm. Whereas we compare that to Jeonbuk, that's Jeonbuk have 2 wins against Ulsan, 2 wins against Pohang, a win and a loss against Sangju, 2 wins against Daegu, a win and a draw against Gwangju, which means they've only dropped 4 points against the top six. So when we talk about these high-pressure games that Jeonbuk get into, they always deliver more often than not. And I think that's really going to show in these next 5 weeks. Now, I think there was a good point made last week by Dan Croydon that Ulsan could be angry to a certain extent.
They should be.
The most recent defeat to Jeonbuk has happened very recently and will still be there simmering in the memory. But we know we just can't rely on Kim Do-hun anymore. You know, we can only forgive him so many times before we have to say that he just can't help himself. And, you know, as much as we could say that Ulsan might fancy revenge against Jeonbuk for those 2 wins, Pohang could easily fancy revenge against Ulsan. And, you know, Pohang loved to spoil a party. And on top of all that, last game of the season, they've got Gwangju. 2 draws against Gwangju, and well, you better hope that Ulsan don't need more than a point on that final day, because Willian is going to break their hearts. So
being the final day fixture, the likelihood, if I'm being slightly pessimistic, is that Gwangju are just playing for pride on that day, that they won't have a chance of getting fifth, and that could play into Ulsan's hands.
Weird schedule, by the way. We haven't had a chance. Like, and again, we're not going to go through all of it. It's online. But like you said, Matthew, the last day, we could have had Jeonbuk Ulsan, which would have made a lot of sense. Or to me, I loved what happened last year. Let's just rinse and repeat that. Jeonbuk Ulsan, the second to last day. Pohang Ulsan, last day in Pohang as well. In a year where Pohang has lost the East Coast Derby twice. Ooh, just hook that into my veins. That is drama. We're ready to go. And they didn't do it. Like, this schedule on the last day, it's fine. But I mean, okay, this is the one that we'll run down. Round 27, this is the last day. Final round B will take place on Halloween Day, which in true 2020 fashion, we have Halloween on a Saturday in a year that we can't go out and hang out with each other. So that's fun. We do get to wear masks. How great is that? But on the final day, kicking off at the same time at 3 p.m., in final round B, we have the Gyeonggun Derby. We have FC Seoul versus Incheon. So, I mean, I think that's good. That's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. We also have Gangwon versus Suwon. Not as much there. Seongnam versus Busan. So to me, you flip those. Give Seongnam and Suwon. That's a rivalry. Give them the last match. Then you got the Gyeonggun Derby and Suwon versus Seongnam. Lovely. And Gangwon and Busan are just going to punch each other to death and probably have like 10 goals between them again. So that's what I would have preferred there. But this is the head scratcher for me. Final round A, November 1st, the last day that we are going to see K-League 1 this year. It's Ulsan Hyundai versus Gwangju, which you just said. Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors hosting Daegu FC and Pohang Steelers hosting Sangju Sangmo.
In all fairness to the K-League, it's random. It's always been random. But
could it not
has
be?
It been random? Like, there has been a lot of convenient final day meetups over the past. But yeah, it's how it's fallen. I mean, the penultimate match of the round is Jeonbuk traveling to Ulsan, where if Ulsan is still in the lead at that point, Ulsan can win the title at home against Jeonbuk like they could have last year.
That sounds really familiar.
Yeah. You might want to listen back to our intro recording.
I don't.
With that one. I think I would have liked it. That is what I would have liked them to have built up the potential clashes at the end. But it is what it is. And there are some interesting ties there. I mean, Daegu against Jeonbuk, that's going to be quite a difficult one. I know Jeonbuk's beat them twice already this season, but that could be a banana peel for...
But Cesini wasn't playing in either of the last two games, was he, against Jeonbuk?
No, he wasn't. And,
that's because Matthew's conflicted too much when Cesini plays against his team. Speaking of these matches, Matt, we'll stick with you for this one. What is the match that you're looking for post-split in final round A?
Obviously, Ulsan Jeonbuk. It's just massive. It was massive just under a week ago. And it's going to be equally as massive, the penultimate game at the split. Like, I think, although Ulsan fans will probably disagree with Jeonbuk having won twice, I think both games have lived up to the hype to a certain extent. Maybe not so much the first match because it was kind of ruined by the red card to a certain degree, but it was still both big matches that both delivered, both teams attacked. I think with a lot on the line, it's going to come down to that again. And I think... that's really going to be one to watch. And I think that's what, I wish that was the final match of the season, but I think it'll be leading up to that penultimate match. So yeah, Ulsan Jeonbuk, obviously.
Pete, which match do you have pegged?
I also went for a Jeonbuk match, the home game against Pohang Steelers. I think Pohang are a team any day of the week. They could beat anyone in this league. I mean, Palasevic at the weekend was on fire, wasn't he? He was keeping us busy on the K-League highlights. and that game is also on a Saturday, and the night before is Ulsan playing on a Friday night. So that could have huge permutations for the title race.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sticking with Pohang, but I am most looking forward to them hosting Ulsan. That's in the 25th round, the East Coast Derby there. So that one's going to be, I mean, again, we've talked about this. Ulsan's got the better of them twice, but Ulsan can win when there's nothing on the line. Ulsan can win when it's week 6, week 7, week 8. I really want to see what Ulsan can bring in this match, especially because, like we're saying, it's that and then it's Jeonbuk. You can just go win the title. Just go win the title. Prove that you can win these games, win them, and you're done and you're in. And getting a clean sweep against Pohang, I think, would be absolutely massive. So that's going to be a fun one. I might even make the trip down to Pohang for that one. I
was at that Pohang nil Ulsan Hyundai 4 game earlier in the season, and that was like the revenge match, wasn't it? And not even just the players, but all the backroom staff were so animated on that day. And when the first goal went in, they were all jumping up and down in an empty stadium. And they were need again. They need the anger with them.
Well, speaking of anger, real quick, then we got to go to a break. Matthew, who's going to win the league?
Who do you think? No, I can feel Kim Do-hyun already looking at his starting lineup and thinking, "Ooh, maybe if I should just change it just this one week." And I think Ulsan are going to let them back in again. It's going to be Jeonbuk. It's going to be four in a row, and they're going to be they're going to have a record eighth title to their name.
Pete,
I'm going for Ulsan. I think they've got more consistent strikers if they actually play them than Jeonbuk. And at the weekend against Incheon, they showed that grit that you need to win the title and ground out 1-0 wins. Even if it was against the side at the bottom of the table and not the rest of the top six.
I think it's going to be Jeonbuk on the last day again, because Ulsan have had so many chances this year to prove that they can do it when it matters, and they can't. And as I've ranted on here before, Kim Do-hyun can't. He cannot win this title. He can't. He can't win big games. He doesn't know how to get out of his own way, and he's going to do it again this year. And the Ulsan board has nobody to blame but themselves, because the talent has been there on this team for years. They should have multiple trophies in their cabinet right now if they would have just gotten rid of him and brought in almost anybody else. He's going to get in his own way again, and we're going to have to watch Jeonbuk win the title again, which just sounds so great.
I'm not going to that last game of the season at Jeonju to watch Jose Moraes lift a trophy. I'm leaving early from that one. I think I'll be on the bus back to Gimje.
You can still lift three of them.
And on that note, we'll be right back after a quick break.
FNR is a revolutionary football dedicated digital platform, the first of its kind in Australia. It provides a 24/7 live online radio platform experience, podcast hub, and acts as a content provider for TV, radio, and digital. Having reached millions of listeners and football fans since launching, FNR is accessible worldwide via its website or app, providing a platform to discuss, debate, and celebrate the world game. We are your voice of football, FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the K-League United podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, joined by Pete Hampshire.
Hello.
And a very smug Matthew Binns.
Hello.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. We are into my neck of the woods. Where were the underdogs live? We're in final round B, where FC Seoul do find themselves at the top of a table, as Paul predicted preseason. It's just the bottom half of this table. They are in seventh. Gangwon FC slid all the way down to eighth. They were in sixth going into the final day. Seongnam FC is in ninth. Busan I Park, looking a little nervous down there in 10th. Suwon Samsung Blue Wings got a massive, massive win in round 22 over Gangwon. They remain in 11th, though, and in 12th, and fighting, as they always do from that position. It's Incheon United. So let's hop in here. Matthew, what's your biggest talking point in final round B?
Well, I'm sure there's bigger talking points, but the one that interests me is what happens now with Seoul and Gangwon. I mean, probably not so much Seoul, but as in Gangwon, both are expected to be in the top half. And Seoul's disappointment may make this a little bit more of a manageable situation for them, because they've been in the bottom half for so long this season that they're going to just be seeing the season out, trying to find a bit of rhythm, trying to get Ki Sung Young fitting into that squad and looking ahead and planning for next season. But Gangwon, Seoul also have the Champions League to look at as well. Mm-hmm. So they'll be focusing ahead on that. But we look at Gangwon and they've been in the top half all season. They've been praised. They've been, you know, they're supposed to be the forebearers of this beautiful new football to the K-League. And have just been rubbish, quite frankly. The last few games, Fuse being very lenient on them. Two wins in their last 12 for Gangwon that has seen them slip down into the bottom half. And you can't see them getting the motivation to continue against these teams. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go down, but I'm saying that teams that perhaps are in those lower positions might fancy that as one of the easier opportunities to get 3 points. If you're Incheon, if you're Busan, well, maybe not Busan, because, we'll talk about them in a bit, I believe, but Suwon as well, and Suwon, as they proved in the final game of the season, Gangwon are there for the taking, and that's... I just wonder what's left of the legacy of Byung-soo Ball after this season, because it was supposed to be so much better. It looked so promising, and now we are. We come to the end of the season, and it's just a bit of a shrug, really. You know, you pass it around a lot, but really, at the end of the day, what are you doing?
To me, yeah, they're always entertaining, and I think they're just one or two players away. But we've been saying that for a really long time. So, anyway, Pete, what's your main talking point in final round B here?
Yeah, it's Busan I-Park for me. I mean, they've gone from looking relatively comfortable. It looked like they could push for a top half finish themselves at one point, and where they lost just 1 in 10 a few weeks ago, and they've followed that on with winning just 1 in 10. It was an incredible transformation from Choduk Jay's side. Me and Matt watched them at the weekend, obviously, and they didn't look awful, but I mean, I think Jeonbuk took their foot off the gas a lot in the second half and saved their legs. And Chaepul-soo had a lot of saves to make to keep the score down. They've also conceded plus 2 goals in 6 of those last 10 games. So with 5 games left against the teams around them, you'd be worried, wouldn't you?
Yeah, indeed I would be. And that leads into my talking point here, which is the Great Escape. It's always on. It's on again. Because speaking of Busan, they are just 3 points clear of Incheon right now, as are Suwon. Incheon are on 18 points. Suwon and Busan are on 21. Seongnam's also not safe. Seongnam is on 22 points right now. Gangwon, I mean, like you say, Matthew, I don't think they're too worried about the drop, but they're 6 points clear and they're not winning games.
I mean, it is possible. I do believe they've probably got a bit, just enough talent. They'll get a win and a draw and it'll sort them out. But it's such a tight bottom half, and you only have to go like a few podcasts back when we're talking about Incheon dead and buried, and then suddenly it's everything's really tight down there. I mean, I never said it.
I never said dead and buried.
I wasn't on the pod. I blame Peter and
Todd. Blame the game, Jay boy.
It was Todd. It was Todd's fault. Yeah, sure. Yeah. He's not on this week. We'll throw him under the bus.
All right.
Yeah, I mean,
and throw his team as well. Throw Busan under there.
Please, Busan, don't. No, because if Busan get relegated, then 2021 we have to deal with Busan being in the promotion relegation playoff again. I can't. Please just stay up so we don't have to deal with that.
You'll get to see Jeonnam at the beach again, though, won't you? So, I mean, it's all right for you.
Yeah. I'll see that next year when Busan survives and the Dragons win the playoffs this year, beating out Paul Neath's Daejeon Hana Citizen. That's how it's going to go. Anyway, speaking of beating teams, this is Incheon has Seongnam, Suwon, Gangwon, Busan, and then they end with Seoul. There's nothing that's ideal for Incheon right now, but that's not tremendously undoable, I don't think, especially considering their recent form compared to everybody else in the bottom of the table. And this is how Incheon does this every year. They wait until the end of the year when other teams are kind of sliding down into the bottom half of the table and they're kind of fighting their way up out of the relegation spot, and that tends to work for them. And I think it really, really could again this year. So to me, they're the team to watch in the bottom half, because they always are, and especially this year. You just got to just avoid 12th. That's all you got to do, because we know Sangju is going to get relegated. So just avoid 12th, which leads into some of the matches to watch here. And Matthew, I believe you have Incheon in one of your matches to watch.
I do. And I've just gone for final game of the season, because Incheon always leave it till the final game of the season. And they have FC Seoul at home. No, they have FC Seoul away, actually.
In Seoul, yeah.
They have it in Seoul, which is going to make the celebrations, even more special for the players, I guess, because when they overturn Seoul by 3-2 at the last minute, they go to winner. Then it'll be absolute delirium on the benches. But no, I think it's a really good fixture to end on. And as we were talking about earlier, I think that we're lacking that kind of final day fixture in the top half. But Seoul versus Incheon is a bit of a rivalry, the Gyeonggi derby. And Incheon have been able to hold their own to a reasonable degree. They recently beat them as well. We only have to look back last week to see them win 1-0. Bit of Songshu, bit of Siu time. Getting them through in the end. And yeah, also, you know, Incheon surviving relegation, it means Christmas is here. So it may be October, but, you know, get the John Lewis advert out, get the Coca-Cola one out. We're here. It's Christmas time. So yeah, Incheon versus Seoul for me.
Pete, which match do you have that you're going to be keying in on post-split?
I went for another FC Seoul home game, and it's their one against Busan, which is a repeat of the 2018 Pro Rel playoff that a few of us were at, and half the fans of the rest of the K-League teams were at in the away end. So there's some revenge to be had there. And that was a great match to go to. Shame on the result, but it'd be interesting because that could really decide the fate of Busan, I feel.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, and well, I think Seoul's going to be safe, but nobody really seems like they're safe from this relegation scrap. So, I mean, that could play into them. But yeah, I think that could be the match that sinks Busan. I have actually gone with one that's coming up pretty soon, and that's Incheon hosting Suwon, because that's just absolutely massive. I think Suwon, if they've got breathing room at that point, that's Incheon's last chance to close it with Suwon. Again, we'll see what's happening with Busan. This is going to be happening around 24 on October 4th, so next weekend. And it's in Incheon. And I wish they had their fans there for it, because that's also a part of the Great Escape. You know, that's what gets Incheon going, is they get their fans behind them at the end of the season. Again, I would love it if the fans could, just have like 3 or 4 wins in a row in July or something at some point. But we'll leave that fantasy version of reality for the future. I'm really looking forward to this one, because I think if Incheon are going to do this, they have to win. They have to win that game. And I mean, also the match against Busan's a must win, but this one against Suwon, the team that's been in 11th, the team that's been right there the whole time, if they might even have a chance to leapfrog them at that point, and then they'd be fighting from the advanced position. So I think this one's going to be absolutely massive. So yeah, we've got matches all over in final round B here, coming up early, mid, and then the last game of the season. And yeah, Incheon and Busan, which I think kind of leads into the teams we'll be talking about now as we get into who's going to get relegated. So, Matthew, who do you have making the drop down to K2?
Well, I was going to say Busan, but Todd Wild's just come into the comments complimenting my new hair. So I might have to have a quick change of thoughts, you know. I thought Busan, just because I thought they're malfunctioning at both ends of the pitch. They're not scoring, letting them in. I think Suwon might just, as the John Book fan in me, I want Suwon. There's no secrets there. But I think Suwon are going to have enough to get through. And they're just, Pokonar's going to sort them out, I think. Hakuna Matata, and no worries for relegation for Suwon.
He's been lining that up for
for weeks.
Okay, so Pete, since we're not going to have Matt on the podcast again for the rest of the season, who do you think is going to go down in the meantime?
I don't think either of you are going to agree with me, because I'm going for Incheon. Incheon United, even though they seem to survive every year, but I think this is the one. You don't go that long in a season without a win if you've just not got the quality. I know Aguilar's back and he's helped them along, but I think the other teams have just got more strength in depth, better quality players. Look at Suwon, they've signed Han Suk Jung, he's been a big influence in the middle. And I think Busan have just got that touch of quality up front to pull them out of it.
Yeah, I disagree, because Incheon can't be relegated. That's one of the facts of reality. I do think it's going to be Busan just based on recent form. Kind of like you were saying, Matt, I think they're a mess all over the place. Goalkeeper has been an issue for them all year. And I think right now you have to have a steady pair of hands in net for you right now. And I think Itehee is that player for Incheon. I wish he would have been in net for them all season, whatever's going on there. But every single time I see him play, he's got a gaff in him every now and again, but he's just so steady at the back for Incheon. And that's what they're going to need, because they're going to need to get these close results. And I just don't see the same thing for Busan. I just don't see that happening for them, which means that in 2021, we get to see Busan in the promotion relegation playoff again. So, yay.
Never dull if you're a Busan fan. Always a final.
Yeah, there you go. Well, there's a question in the mailbag about this. So actually, I'll cut myself off right there. We'll take a quick break, and then we're going to hop into the Olgi Luis mailbag.
Olgi Luis is your neighborhood British bar and cafe located in the Old Giro district of Seoul. Decorated in old English antiques and furniture for a true homely feel, you can enjoy homemade scones, cakes and afternoon tea during the day, and traditional British favorites like beef stew, English ale and a fine selection of wines at night. Available for private parties or simply an evening out, Olgi Luis is sure to become your favorite neighborhood pub. Be sure to mention K-League United at the bar during your visit and you'll get 10% off your bill.
Welcome back to the K-League United podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, joined as somewhat usually by Peter Hampshire.
Hello.
And leading us through the Olgi Luis mailbag, it's Matthew Bittens.
Hello. Okay. Into the Olgi Luis mailbag we go. And first out this week is the 94th minute on Twitter. Usually we save him for a bit further down, but he has a question about Gwangju. And, well, we can't resist a Gwangju question with Peter on. So, does Gwangju have the best front three on form in the K-League currently? Willian is top quality and has the best shirt number also.
Yeah, number 94 for those wondering what his shirt number is. I would say they've got the best balanced front three. I mean, Ulsan have obviously got quality up there, 45 goals in 22 games. But if you look at the balance of Willian, if you're into goals, then it's Ulsan's the one. But they've got Willian on the left, On Wan Sang on the right, and Felipe up top. I mean, just the perfect balance. I think that's what makes them punch above their weight so much. And I mention it all the time on this podcast, but Felipe's ability to draw fouls and get free kicks is still the most fouled player in K-League. That really does benefit Gwangju.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue against that.
Well, then I'll follow it with a more negative question on Gwangju, and this is from Blumqua on Instagram. He asks, do you think Gwangju's success is a one-off, or can they be a consistent mid-table team?
To me, it depends. I'll say it depends on if they can keep Felipe next year, because they go as he goes, and that's kind of always been Gwangju's MO, right? You know, when Jung Jo-guk won the MVP there, they did well because he did well. When Na Sang-ho was tearing up K2, they did well because he did well. Now the past 2 years, you know, last year they ran away with K2 because Felipe should have been the MVP, was the Golden Boot winner, so they did well then. And he's stepped up to K1, and he's done a really good job for them this year. So to me, if they can hang on to him, yeah, they're a mid-table team. Especially, if they can hang on to all three of these guys that we're talking about right now, because On Wan Sang, like you said, is just, whew, what a talent. And I think it's going to be hard to keep him around for long, especially with Jumbuk in the league. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, I would say that Gwangju have been very lucky, fortunate, whatever the word is, with injuries this year. I've been doing those previews and I'm trying to fill the team news section. I'm like, just give me an injury somewhere. Give me an injury to write about. But every week they've had a fully fit squad, and that's why Felipe is so important, because he just gets battered around every week and he never gets injured. Yeah. So if they can keep everyone fit like this season, then maybe again.
Just want to say that we've got Clint, the 94th minute, coming in on YouTube right now saying that goals are overrated. Agree, Clint. Defense wins championships.
He wants to start watching Barnsley if he feels like that.
Anyway, so we're going to move on from Gwangju. We have Alex Holiday on Instagram. He's asking, if you had to pick one team to do well after the split, who are you picking? And Alex went with Pohang and Suwon as an optimistic slash deliriously depressed Blue Wings fan. He went with them as a depressed Blue Wings fan, rather.
Okay, so he's saving himself. He's optimistic that Suwon will do well post-split.
I mean, they might.
They might, because most of their a lot of their losses came against the top half of the table, who they don't have to play anymore. They're not necessarily who I think is going to do tremendously well post-split in the bottom half. I think it's going to be Incheon, but that's just because I am all aboard the Great Escape hype train. I'll say Incheon in B, and I think Songju is going to do really well in A.
Can I take one from the top and one from the bottom?
That's what we have to do now. Yeah, that's
how
we
set up. Rachel.
Yeah. Do you get that reference, Ryan?
No.
Just say
more
yes.
British references to you.
Yes. Moving on. Yes.
Mm-hmm. From the top, I'm actually taking Daegu. I think they're going to take points off Ulsan this weekend.
Yeah.
Cezinha's on fire. I mean, and Dayan's on form as well. And sometimes you just need those two attacking talents and you can cause an upset in these big games. From the bottom, I'm going for Songnam. Na Sang-ho has been on great form recently. And I don't think they'll be anywhere near trouble.
Matthew?
I don't know. I think Jumbo's going to win 5. I mean, there is a very good chance Jumbo might do very well post-split. I mean, as much as we joke about it, they've just beaten Ulsan, which seems to have given them gave them a new lease of life against Busan. I mean, Busan were Busan as well at the end of the day, so we shouldn't read 100% into that, but Jeonbuk looked good. They have got a good track record against the top six, and they do deliver when the pressure's on. So as boring and predictable as it is for me to say it, I have to think Jeonbuk are going to just turn it on in the split and go after Ulsan. It's whether Ulsan can hold their nerve. I think for me as well, from the bottom, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I think Incheon. I've got to go with them because they're coming into form at the right time of the season. They're getting the results when against big opposition in FC Seoul and things, and they've dragged themselves close to safety. Yes, didn't go quite right on the final day of the season, but they're still only lost to Ulsan 1-0, and that was even after hitting the post. So they're fighting, and I wouldn't want to be locked in the bottom half with them. You know, it's not you want to avoid them at any cost at this point in the season.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's me reading the mailbag, isn't it? Yes. So back in we go.
It's like me on Sunday all over again.
We have an eloquently worded question from Todd on Instagram, who is, as it's a family-friendly podcast, we'll just say he is wondering how much of an issue Busan might have found themselves in.
I would say a lot. Todd's also watching now on Facebook and brought up a good point. He said, to Pete's point, with injuries, Busan have had so many injuries this season. Kim Moon-hwan, Yoon Suk-young all season, Kim Jin-gyu, Park Jong-woo, Lee Jung-hyup, and Kim Hyun have all missed long stretches this season. So yeah, that's pretty significant. That's a lot of folks there. And what was your wording?
How big Busan? Is the issue that they have
how
found?
How big is the issue, right? Okay, because this is family friendly. Massive. Yeah, I think they should be very concerned about the drop.
Yeah, and those injuries you just mentioned are all over the park as well. It's not like it's just in one position. That's fullbacks, centre midfielders, strikers, and also Cho Duk-jae's. He just seems to pick a different goalkeeper every week. He can't decide who his number one is. That doesn't help a team settle in back in the top division.
Tell you what, that injury list as well looks like a lovely shopping list if they do go down. I mean, you'd fancy just plucking a few of them out, wouldn't you? But no, I'll stay away from that until the post-transfer squad. Hello, Kim Min-hwan. And no, we'll carry on down the mailbag list I have in front of me. And we have Ashley Furman on Twitter asking, what do we make of the Blue Wings under Park Kanar based on their performances in the last three games?
Past three, they've scored three goals in three games. They were held scoreless against Pohang. No shame in that, really. But they lost to Seoul. I mean, you know, as Paul and I mentioned post-match in that one, that was just a moment of brilliance from Han Sung-gyu, which sadly they were missing over the weekend. But Suwon still, they don't look that much different to me. I mean, Gangwon has this in them. Gangwon's always going to Gangwon, right? Like they're going to have some entertaining goals and they're going to lose at home to a team like Suwon. To me, I haven't really seen enough different from Suwon to say that there's anything really significant going on.
Mm. Teams like Suwon, you will have not made our previous Suwon columnist Scott Whitelock very happy with that reference. But yeah,
sorry.
I don't know. I kind of think they're doing all right under Park Kanar. I think it's too soon to say. He was a defensive manager first at Seoul Eland. Yeah, but three games, too hard to say. But he hasn't. Mm-hmm. He's lost one, but only lost by that goal, like you said. And he's managed to get points out the other. So they'll probably survive. And then we'll have to look what they do in the off season before we can really rate how he's actually faring.
Again, City Football Group, I know you're listening.
They can't take him over. It'd be awful.
For you.
Yeah. That's all I care about. Have we not established this? Right. Dead John Citizen Fan Club Brazil on Twitter has a question in saying, we saw teams like Seoul, Suwon, Dead John and Incheon sacking managers mid-season. What is your opinion about the manager pool in South Korean football? Do you consider it shallow? And how do you evaluate the changes until now?
Yeah, I always have a look on Transfermarkt at the available Korean coaches. And we've mentioned it a few times over the last few podcasts. There's not a dearth of available talent. I was thinking about this question, like this year with COVID and everything, you could see some more left field managers coming into K-League next season because people are going to look on the K-League from abroad and think there's a stable league that is pretty much going to go ahead next season. Whereas in Europe, who knows what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, to me, I don't think we have to look too far. You just hop over the EC to J-League where we saw Ange Postecoglou win the league. I mean, it's time to start looking elsewhere. Like, I'm not saying that I want a foreign manager at every club, but like the coaching carousel's got to stop at some point. I mean, or at least start looking at the uni coaches and give them our opportunities in K2 or something. But I mean, we just keep seeing the same managers come and go and do the same thing over and over. And there's so many similar styles of play. And I just stop it. Stop it. Mm. I mean, and especially like if you're FC Seoul, yeah, you know, leave a caretaker in charge for the year. And then this offseason, go and get a manager that gets people excited. Go and get a manager with a name that makes players want to come and play in the capital city of a country like Korea. And like you said, Pete, a league that's stable like K-League, that should be a draw. You know, I mean, come help this capital club earn Champions League again, put your name on the map and get the club back to where it belongs. Right. Or we're also talking about Suwon. This is another team with a really big name. Daejeon, they could have a big name if they can start living up to their price tag. I mean, in Incheon, you know, Incheon Challenge is a gorgeous stadium. It's a team with a lot of history. I mean, there's just so much going here to just keep having the same guys come in and do the same job over and over.
Mm. I mean, the thing is, I'd argue that there isn't that much going on in terms of actual professional teams. There's only 22 teams in this league. That's only 22 opportunities. So to be a manager in this league is a very short-lived affair unless you can move yourself overseas pretty quickly. Because if you don't succeed, then in theory, there should be up-and-coming talent. But what it does mean is there are teams that are not willing to take the risk, and then you just get this clog of managers. But I think if you could open the pyramids that would also really help, and it would actually put more eyes on you know, managers in the K3 are doing a good job at present, and it would put pressure on those at the bottom of the K2 to perform and actually see test their mettle and things. So I think as well, the lack of professional opportunities doesn't really help the managerial situation, but I won't kind of, I'll let you two stick with what you said there. I think that they're very good points. So yeah, we have one more question, and it is from our Bouchon columnist, George Slade, on Twitter, and he wants to ask a K2 question. We haven't had one of them around here for a while. George Slade is asking, does the close promotion race in K2 demonstrate the need to expand the playoffs to 4 K2 teams and have it in the style of the English Football League, aka 2 semis and a final and straight up with 2 K1 teams going down? I mean, we may as well not ask Peter, because he's got his head in the clouds with Guangzhou being in the top 6. He's forgotten about all the little teams that Guangzhou crumpled on the way there. But yeah.
I mean, yes, Paul and I have both been shouting this all year. I mean, this year is a perfect situation of what it should be. And again, we talk about the league all the time having opportunities to create events. This is an event. Like, this is an event that makes itself. Have the K2 promotion final at Incheon Stadium every year. Have it at Daegu, for that matter. Just have it at a neutral venue where fans can travel. They'll fill up the stadium. Again, this is in a normal year. Hopefully we'll be there next year. But either way, have it in a neutral venue and have it be an event. Have a trophy for this. If you win the K2 playoff, you get promoted and you get a shield or something. I don't know. Have something there. Branding opportunity as well. And I mean, just get people excited about something instead of, all right, we won the K2 playoff. Now we get to face the 11th place team that's been playing like crap for months. Yay. Like, it's so hard to get excited about that. And like Pete, like you were saying, the atmosphere with Busan Seoul was so great because there were so many people in the Busan end that just really don't like FC Seoul, right? And that was fun that time. And there were a few Seoul fans that showed up for it, but FC Seoul's fans are never going to show up for that game and be like, woohoo, we're going to avoid relegation. Great. Like that. They're not going to be excited about that. Whereas if you get 2 K2 clubs, then their fans are going to be excited about that possibility. We just see so many times that football here, it ramps up to something great and then it just plateaus and caves. I mean, the FA Cup's the same way. We've got a double-legged final year after year. Just stop it. Just make these events, make these one-off events that we can market and that we can build up to and that we can get fans excited about for weeks and weeks and weeks. To me, this is the perfect excuse to just stop doing things the way that they've been done. Automatically relegate 2 teams from K-League 1, which also makes post-split that much more interesting, because then you're not just fighting to avoid 12th, you're fighting to avoid 11th as well.
I understand why George has made the comparison with the English playoffs, because in the semi-finals, you get so much excitement and so many memories. I remember like playoffs from 2005, not even involving my team, because there's such memorable games, and between sides that are at a similar level, like you're saying, it's not a side who's in 11th that are on a downer. The only thing I'd say is in the K2, there's only 10 teams. So if you have second, third, fourth, and the fifth going into the playoffs, then you've got half the league with a chance of promotion, which doesn't really sit right with me if you've got fifth place out of 10 getting promoted.
Yeah, but you know, then the other teams need to go out and beat them. You know, if the fifth place team isn't the best team, then they shouldn't win. I mean, as Matthew was saying, with only 22 teams here, I just want to see more movement between the leagues. I want to see teams come up and see if they can stay up. I want to see some of the teams that are stagnant go down. And I think also, like you were saying, Matt, I think the pyramid's just got to open up. I think if we've got teams coming up from K3 into K2, then, Pete, I don't think it would be as big of a deal to have that many teams in K2. But again, I don't think that level's that much different between like 8th and down in K1 and 5th and up in K2. Sure, there's a gap there, but look, Guangzhou just came up with largely the same roster and just finished in the top half.
Yeah.
Well, I think what this season has proved is that it, even with one straight down relegation place, it's still tight. So we don't need to really think about this relegation playoff and expanding 2 extra games when it could just be a playoff final. I think it's tight this season. Chuck in another straight down relegation spot, whether that involves a four-team promotion playoff in the second tier or the three-team promotion playoff that we've currently got at present. I think definitely two down, two up has to be the future if we're going to keep the excitement in the league. But yeah, that's it for the mailbag, unless there's anything else to add.
We had a few comments come in, but we've managed to get to them, except for Clinton again saying it's time for the David Moyes revolution in Korea. I'm good.
He's going to take over at Ulsan after Kim Do-hun leaves. It's going to be fantastic. right then. That's it for the K-League United podcast this week. I'm doing Ryan's bit here right now, but I'm going to tell you about our Patreon. It's live. Can't edit this out. So if you do like what we do, if you want to support us, you can support us via Patreon. That's patreon.com/K-League United. And by supporting us, you get exclusive access to editorial pieces, power rankings. The power rankings for this month are out now as well. You get full player interviews and podcast extras. There's the K-League Survivor, which is wrapping up this weekend, but you will be able to join it next season. And there are plenty of other things there. And tiers start as low as $1, $3, and $5. And yeah, we appreciate all the support. And thanks again to all our current patrons. And we will be sending out parcels soon, we believe. We really are trying. It's just
COVID is destroying everything this year. Also worth noting that patrons of all subscription levels are going to be invited to a pub quiz soon. So we're going to do another K-League pub quiz. Matt's the quiz master for that, did a tremendous job last time. We're tapping him for that one again. You just have to do it because you did it last time. So
study some John Book, everyone. And
we're going to try to do that before the season's over so we can't hear about 8-time champion John Book Kendai Motors.
You mean anyway. I can't wear my cape there, but all right.
If you'd like to listen to Matthew live, you can do so every Thursday on Football Nation Radio down in Australia. And if you subscribe via iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, or wherever you download your podcast and leave us a review, you will be entered into next month's, that's going to be October's, K-League kit giveaway. And speaking of Patreon, we're going to put a vote up on Patreon to decide which kit we're going to give away for the last month. Well, technically, we'll go into November, so we'll do two more. But we're going to put that up on Patreon to decide which kit we'll give away here in October. But for now, for the very smug Matthew Binns in Peter Hampshire, I'm Ryan Walters. Thanks so much for listening.
Kim Shin